Okay, everybody. Welcome to today's teleclass called the Mindset Reset. This class is going to be kind of my story of how I connected some dots in the realm of this mindset stuff, both in my personal life and in my business life, and how over the years I kind of weave together stuff I learned from a lot of different areas. To really create what is ultimately a fairly simple and straightforward way to deal with all this. I've always been into mindset and, for lack of a better word, like self-help kind of stuff. So it's just been a natural interest of mine over the years. However, it's taken a long time to wade through all of the information that's available out there and really distill it down on multiple levels, not only the level that you read about in books like The Secret or whatever, or the movies, but to connect that to like the real physical world, like biology and science and stuff like that. And some of those dots really didn't get filled in until not too long ago, within a couple years ago. Okay, so a couple rules of the road here, just to kind of set your perspective. So that you know where I'm coming from. First of all, I'd say that as a general rule, I don't view business and life and human beings as separate things. They're not separate worlds. You can't really cordon off one from the other, right? You can't address business without addressing the human involved in the business. And this isn't readily obvious in a big corporation so much as it is when we're out there working with clients or trying to attract clients. It's kind of extremely obvious whether or not we'd like to admit it. So you work on you. Yes, you improve, but so does your business many times. Next up, we've really been endowed with several quote unquote powers that we were never taught how to use. Like everyone can do this. One is the ability to impact your reality, like your physical reality and reality of things you can't see, emotions, stuff like that. You can impact that slash control it based on how you direct your energy. The second one that we have been gift or power that we've been given is the ability to manipulate the software that runs our experience. And we'll talk a lot more about that in just a few minutes. According to me, in its simplest form, when I say the word mindset, I'm referring to the collection of software programs that you're running inside you at various levels of your mind. Some you're aware of, some you're not aware of. So, mindset to me isn't positive thinking. Mindset to me isn't self-image or how you feel about yourself. It refers to this whole suite. Call it your operating system, really. I mean, we're computers, we're just biological computers and very advanced ones. But we run software, and we're going to focus on that, how it works, why it works, what to do about it. Next little rule of the road here before we get started is you don't tend to get what you want in life. At least I don't tend to get what I want. I don't even tend to get what I deserve. Consistently, I get what I believe, right? So, in terms of the mindset things that I'm going to talk about, we're going to be spending a fair amount of time at the level of belief, explaining why that's important, what those things really are, and how they contribute to making you miserable or not so miserable or happy, God forbid. Finally, the world does not improve your mindset, right? Your conditions out there don't have this reverse effect where all of a sudden it makes you feel great. It tends to happen the other way around. You work on your mindset first, the change ripples from that point out. So, in that regard, you really are the center of the universe. Each one of us is the center of our own universes, and that's why we think about ourselves all the time. Head and shoulders many more times than we think about anybody else. Like, that's just how we're wired. We are the center of our universe. So this is split up into a couple parts. And part number one, I call the anatomy of belief. As we go through this and you have questions, if you are here live, you can hit star two, and when we get to the Q&A at the end, I'll unmute you and you can ask. If you're listening to the recording, you can always email questions to support@incomparableexpert.com. Or if they're private, you are certainly free to email them to me, even if you are on live today. Okay, so the anatomy of a belief. What is exactly a belief? I remember sitting in my living room late one night in Batesville, Indiana, the casket capital of the world, the Batesville Casket Company. The entire town worked for this one business, and they made caskets. And we lived there for a little while, and it was in that town that I first paid, I think it was $4.95 to download the movie The Secret, like 10 years ago when it came out or whatever. And of course, I had been reading business books and mindset books and everything well before then, but obviously, that was a very sexy presentation and package to put some of that knowledge into. And at first, everybody was excited about it. Then people started realizing, oh, like you just can't sit on the couch and have things happen. And then there was the spreading of kind of that side of things. Like you actually have to go put action behind this. I loved the whole thing, but I found that it didn't really create a large impact in my life. That single kernel of knowledge that they imparted, which was we become what we think about, right? On one level, that's true, but over the years, I've found that the truth actually goes much deeper, not more complicated, just deeper. Because when you run with you get what you think about, it tends to send you off in directions that don't take you where you're trying to go. And over the coming 30, 40, 50 minutes here, I'm going to do my best to explain why that is. So, a belief is simply an energetic software program. Like, that's exactly how it operates. But it's one that's completely bypassed the conscious mind. Like what the thoughts that are going through your head right now, that's your conscious mind, right? Beliefs are software programs that have gone by that level of thinking. They execute in the subconscious mind, much deeper, but not inaccessible. Okay, beliefs are not thoughts. This is where I really screwed up for a long time. Beliefs are under thoughts. Beliefs are what control your thoughts. Beliefs are responsible for producing your thoughts. Okay? So that's my definition of belief that we're going to use throughout the rest of today. So let's talk about how these software programs, aka beliefs, run every life on this planet. So this starts when you're very young, of course. We all know stereotypically that for some reason, the events in our childhood like somehow impact us today, right? And some of us had good events, not so good, terrible, and just about everywhere in between. And if you were going in the direction of therapy, they would investigate this part of your life. And for good reason. Does create an enormous impact. What I didn't understand for a long time was why, what you can do about it, right? And how to navigate through that to where we want to go. So, we are computers, right? We've been programmed, for lack of a better word, just like a robot has. And it started when we were first born. And the first step, obviously, is to realize that. The second step is to learn to observe it, which we'll talk about. The final step then is to learn to, instead of be controlled by that, to actually flip the tables and learn to control that. These programs, aka beliefs, get installed through a certain brainwave state. Okay? So right now, your brain's operating a certain wavelength, most likely in the beta range. That's normal consciousness. One step below that, if the brainwaves slow down a little, we're into theta. Another step below that, or I'm sorry, it goes beta. One step below is alpha. One step below that is theta. And finally, delta. The delta brainwave state is like those shamans that you can freeze their bodies for like 4 months and they're technically still alive. but they don't look alive and then they come back, right? That's delta, like you look as good as dead. Alpha, which is one level under normal conscious thought, is what we're going to focus on. That is, we've all been there many times. We all are there multiple times a day. It's that one of the places that it happens effortlessly for almost everyone, even though if they have no idea about this, is right as you're about to drift off to sleep, right? We've all had those experiences where we're just about to sleep. Maybe we started dreaming for like a second and we catch ourselves and come back, right? Right at that line where we were starting to drift off, that's kind of alpha theta territory. When our brain is in that state, the door, for lack of a better word, to our subconscious is opened, right? That is how we access that level of things. That's why hypnotism works, right? That's why they wave the watch in front of your eyes, and when you stare like that in a fixed point or a moving point like that, it gives your conscious mind something to do, gets it off the table, so that you can just kind of relax into that alpha state, and then your subconscious, the door is open to communicating with it, right? So that's alpha and below. Now, going back to this childhood thing, I read a book that I recommend it every chance I get, but very few people actually read it. Even fewer actually do it, and that's okay. You know, it's not for everybody, and not everybody is at the right spot for it. It's called The Presence Process, written by an author named Michael Brown. And it is a process not attached to a belief structure or any religious dogma or anything resembling anything like that. Simply a process for developing what he calls present moment awareness. I'll explain why that's important later on. But in that book, as I was reading it, and I have to say, I was raised very religious, so grew up memorizing the Bible and stuff like that. This Presence Process book, there's some talk about why, his process and why it works or how it works or what his experience was. But then there's just the process, which is separate from opinion, or you do it and you either prove it for yourself or not. Anyway, that single process has created more profound real world change in my life than anything else put together that I've ever ingested or learned. So I do highly recommend it. It is not for the faint of heart, however. So if you're not into discovering truth about you, not the book for you. Okay. Anyway, in that book, he referred to this thing that he called the 7-year cycle. And he was like, a lot of people who are quote unquote struggling in their life, they feel like the same things, the same situations keep on coming up again and again. And he kind of looked through his own life, and he found that it kind of happens in these like 7-year cycles. Like if he traced back like really emotional kind of things that he remembered, they see the same feelings and like kind of events in his life kept repeating. And he thought that this was fascinating. And he goes on in his book to explain that the reason for that is simply energetic. We're carrying around like these software programs, right? Well, they're energy. Beliefs are energy. Everything's energy. But if you have certain types of energy in your body, like unintegrated emotional charges, is how he explained it. Until you deal with those, like they just keep coming back, right? And when I heard this 7-year thing, I was like, well, that's pretty interesting. He was like, the first 7 years of your life are super important. Now, he didn't explain why. But he was like, what happens during those 7 years, unless you do work to shift, to work through some of those things, your life will develop this bizarre rhythm where kind of those 7 years like keep repeating again and again. He left it at that. And I went through the process and I became more powerful. I became more okay with who I am. I became way less attached to what's going on in my life, and way more attached to the real me. So many benefits of that book. But when I first read it the first time or two, these were kind of novel ideas, but I didn't really see like how all of this fit together. I started doing more studying about belief and the work of Bruce Lipton, who wrote this book called The Biology of Belief. And one line jumped out at me as I was reading that book a couple years ago, and it said it was talking about the alpha brainwave state, right, which we've established opens up someone's subconscious to receive communication in the way the subconscious mind communicates. We'll talk about that in a minute. And Bruce Lipton explained that the reason that your early childhood years and the experiences that happened, somewhere in between that first 7 years, the reason that those create such an impact is because children, up until about the age of seven, exist solely in the alpha brainwave state, right? That's why make-believe is easy for them. That's why imagining is easy for them. They're existing in the same state where that you get into as you're about to drift off to sleep, or that hypnosis, gets you into. That semi, you're lucid, but you're semi dreaming here and not here all at the same time state. And when I read that, I was like, wow. So basically, it really makes me think about raising my kids, frankly, because to know that a being of that age, through those 7 years, the subconscious mind doesn't have a filter or critical aspect to it. The subconscious mind is a sponge, and it will take whatever it is fed without question, right? So think back to the first 7 years of your life. All of that was taken in and imprinted without question in your subconscious mind. That's pretty profound. And when I discovered that, I was like, wow, no wonder that part of the life impacts the rest of the life, unless you do something conscious, to change that. And I came across this quote attributed to somebody in the Jesuit tradition, of which I have no experience except what I've read. And the quote was something to the effect of, give me the child for his first 7 years and I'll give you the man. Like, apparently people know this. People understand that these formative years are formative for a reason, and that's because you're getting programmed by whatever is around you, parents, friends, it doesn't matter. Those programs are going in. The things that go in form the beliefs, the programs, that then run the rest of your life if they're not altered. Okay, so let's leave that little bit of knowledge there for a minute. Moving on. If you're not living right now, like as you're listening to me, if you're daydreaming about something else or problems or got to do this or didn't do that, if you're not fully in the present moment with your conscious mind like tuned here, then what that means is you're allowing a program from your subconscious to run, right? It's like if your focus is not on this present moment, if you're worried about the client project that you're not going to get done next week, you've left the present moment, and that means in the present moment, your subconscious is just running its programs, and you're like not even here to notice what's going on. Okay? Now we're going to talk about these programs, how you got them, why you keep them, how to change them, all that kind of stuff in just a minute. But understand that we're not just talking about like stuff in between your ears. Like, these programs create real change in your physical being. That's what that book, Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton, I would highly recommend that. Actually, the audiobook is probably better. That's the connection that he made, even though all of his colleagues said he was cuckoo, right? In the book, he slowly walks you through his logic. And I did a copywriting project once for someone, and for some reason, it had me re do a whole bunch of research about this area of science called epigenetics. Epigenetics is changes that happen to genes based on external v environment, right? So most people think you're stuck with your genes, and from the day you're born, there's not much you can do to change them. While that's true on one level, you are stuck with your genes. the expression of those genes in the physical world can be altered by changes in your environment. So, kind of a simple idea, right? And that's what Bruce Lipton tried to connect the dots through those two ideas. So, signals outside of a cell affect the protein receptors, jutting out from the cell. And depending on what the environment's like, that cell reacts differently. There was a weight loss study that he cites in his book somewhere, I think it was 2013, where two groups of people were given like a 6 month exercise program, and the exercise, you could that stood for the change in the environment, right? The person's environment changed because exercise was added. And at the end of the study, what the researchers realized was that the expression of the genes in these people that contributed to obesity and like type 2 diabetes, those genes had been turned off. Like they were still there, but their expression in the world had been turned off, right? And so what that shows you is that external stimuli, environmental changes, thought, energy, belief, all these things are changes in environment, actually can affect the biology of a human being, right? In a minute, I'm going to list some of the common programs, beliefs that we have running inside us. And as I read through them, think about the physical reactions that are created, right? That's just kind of like a simple example. But I tell you all this just to kind of begin the process of bringing these two worlds together between the physical and the non-physical, the stuff you can see and the stuff you can't see, because they're really all part of the same world. And when you start to view it that way, then you have a chance at making the changes that you want. Okay, so let's go back to beliefs, these software programs that we run. I'm going to read a list of some of the most common ones that are in many of us. Number one, the need for validation, right? This is a good example of one that creates immediate physical changes in us. Like, think back to school days, think back to when you were about to get your test grade, or you were about to get scolded or in trouble with the teacher. Physical reaction, right, to external environment, to the presence or lack of validation. That's just a simple one that's in almost all of us. Another program for in the business world, that well-paying work must be directly tied to hard effort. Can't make a lot of money without working really hard. Flip side of that program, which is embedded in most of us as well, nothing easy or quick could possibly generate a lot of money, right? Otherwise, you're probably doing something wrong, something you shouldn't be doing. Next program, success is reserved for others, not me. And if I do succeed, it's not going to last long because eventually everybody's going to find out that I'm a big fraud and then it's going to be over. Now, if you've ever stopped for a second with these programs to wonder how in the world, with 7 billion people in this world, did the same program get into so many people? Right? Because this isn't genetic, right? This isn't how the computer was made. This has to do with the software the computer is running. So we're working our way to being able to manipulate that. But first, like I said, we have to be aware of what's going on right now. Next program that a lot of us have running, my value is what I'm worth is only what other people tell me it is, right? So that definition comes from the outside, not from the inside. Next program, don't resist the authority. The authority could be the teacher, the government, the boss, whatever. That is the program that many of us run. Authority figure should not be crossed. And finally, one program that a lot of us run that came out in one of the questions I got was the definitions of ethical, moral, and upstanding are not up to you, right? They're given to you by some outside force, and then you either follow them and get accolades, or you don't follow them and you get in trouble. These are software programs, right? Okay, so let's move on to the next part, which is if we're running software programs, then how do we become a software developer, right? How do we take control of manipulating the software that is running in our subconscious mind so that it's actually maybe more to, can contribute more to helping us than keeping us small or keeping us scared to death or keeping us from ever feeling powerful. Right? Because most of those programs that I just read, the result is one of those three things. Either keeps you from claiming your power, it keeps you from feeling okay, so you walk around your life in a state of constant fear, terror, even at a deep level. And this is not on purpose, but we'll save that whole story for another time, you know? Let's figure out what to do about it. So this is about taking conscious and deliberate control about the programs that are really creating your existence, right? Because beliefs turn into thoughts, thoughts and feelings get mixed up and become actions. Actions go out into the world and make change, right? So it's not hard to see the daisy chain here, and it all starts with the software. So, first rule of thumb, never to forget. From this point out, for the rest of the time, what I'm really going to be doing is outlining a simple process that you can take and make your own and practice. This is a practice, not a dose of antibiotics, right? So this is something, a tool that you will now have from this point forward forever, and it's up to you whether or not you choose to use it or not. So the foundational thing to get in your mind is, if your beliefs influence and/or produce your thoughts, right? So the software produces the output of the software, which is your thoughts, then you can't change your beliefs by thinking. Okay? It doesn't make sense. These two things exist at completely different levels, and you can't get to the deeper level from the higher level. So you can stop trying to think your way to better beliefs because it doesn't happen. The way to install new programs is to figure out how to connect with the place the programs run, right? Which is that subconscious mind. The challenge for the conscious mind is that the subconscious mind doesn't speak the same language, right? It speaks in images, it speaks in feeling. All this is energy, but it's a very unique form of it, right? Images and feelings, images and feelings. And again, like all of this has been talked about through the ages, like tons of books have been written, but I never found a book that pieced all of this together. Some books are do this, do that, do this without any explanation of why, but then other books are totally kind of in the non-physical end of things, and you have trouble relating. Well, how would I use this to actually improve the quality of my life? And so I feel really fortunate through the bizarre path that my life has taken from growing up extremely religious, to then ending up working with Celtic shamanic individuals, to learning all about, like, ancient ceremonies and stuff like that, and then having this interest in business and just a bizarre. And I was supposed to be a musician. Like, it's hilarious when you say it all out loud. But I feel really grateful that I have developed this clear picture of how all this works. So, there are only a couple steps to this. Number one, step number one is to become aware of the programs you're currently running, right? It's like that minute, it's the same feeling when you start to do this that most people in their life are in a movie, right? But they're so caught up in the movie, they don't realize that it's a movie. That's where 80% of the individuals currently live. There's a smaller set of people who are in a movie and they get brief glimpses or realizations that, oh, I'm in a movie. And just for that split second, they become the person that's watching them in the movie, right? That's a slightly deeper level of understanding. And then there are those people who, either by luck, chance, karma, or a lot of work, never get caught up in the movie. and they can maintain that understanding and that stillness that comes with knowing they're watching a movie at every moment of their life, right? So that's kind of the spectrum. With these beliefs, we're going to start at the beginning where we first realize that they exist. Before we change them, we must become aware of them. The only place we can become aware of them is by getting our act together enough to be in the present moment. This is where all the ancient meditation traditions, like that people think don't apply to them today, like there's a reason these things have been around for 5,000 years. I'm not sure why the connection between the mundane world and the world of the unseen, what is going on inside your body and your mind and your spirit, why that connection was severed so abruptly or well. But there is a connection, right? So, to the extent that you develop the ability to just come here to this present moment for a second with your awareness, you can begin to spot these programs that are running. Okay? You can spot them by what they're producing, which are your thoughts. This is why, like, when you start meditation, they'll say, just watch your thoughts. I don't think I've ever had anyone explain to me, yeah, that's good. That's step number one. But if you really want to affect like profound change in your life, the next step is to understand where those thoughts are coming from. Like, sure, let them go by with no resistance. Don't challenge them. Don't engage with them. Just see them coming, coming and going, like clouds floating by. But those are products of your programming, right? So the mental chatter that you have right now in your mind about what I'm saying, maybe some of you are saying, "Wow, this is profound." Maybe some of you are saying, "This guy is a cuckoo," like, and anything in between. Those thoughts are byproducts of your current programs. So when you begin to study them and look at them objectively, you begin to realize you can kind of reverse engineer the programs that are creating those. Again, that book that I mentioned a while ago, The Presence Process with Michael Brown. That's a benefit of going through that. You develop the ability to, in one breath, come back to the moment, right? And people talk about, this moment's the only one there is, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, yeah, but what's for dinner? What, oh, I forgot to pick up the kids. Like, it takes a lot of work, I think, depending on how you were raised, to develop the ability to live in this moment. But there are many profound and very mundane benefits to developing the ability to do that. And one of the mundane benefits down the road is that you get to alter your software programs if you can get this first step right. Okay? Again, this is not an event. You don't do it once and you're done. It's a practice. It takes work. So you start by just, I guess the simplest way to come to the present moment is to just connect for a second with your current breath, right? Your breath is only ever here. So that's like the trick to get back to the present moment is just move your mental awareness of your conscious mind to your breathing. And right there, you're in the moment. From that point forward, you can decide whether to leave and drift away or to stay there. But that's how you get there. Okay? And so what is all this for? Well, we're trying to observe the byproducts, the children of your software programs. And we're doing that by assuming the position of the observer, right? So you have this mental chatter going on in your mind. The client didn't like this. He's going to kill me if I don't get this work done. The next job isn't even going to happen then, or he's going to want me to work for so cheap. And last time, like, it's just incessant, right? The only freedom from that, you can't turn it off. Because the harder you try, the worse it gets because you're feeding it with energy by putting your awareness on the mental chatter and getting into it and engaging with it in that way, you just make it worse, right? The way to neutralize that and to use it to your advantage is to become the observer of that chatter, right? And so you do that when you connect with your breath, and then just for a second, ask yourself, okay, if I'm breathing, who's aware that I'm breathing? What part of me is that? And that's how you connect with that observer point of view. This has profound impacts in the client game, right? Because consider any client relationship. You can get stuck in the movie, or you can watch the movie and know that it's a movie and be one step removed. If you're able to do that, you ask yourself again, well, okay, I know I'm over there playing in the movie, but who is this being that's watching me play in the movie? And this, if you've never met this being before, is the real you, right? That is the real awareness, the real you. This is how you deal with a lot of things. This is how you deal with fear, because if you bring it into the present moment, it loses its power. If you step back and become the observer instead of the one that's wrestling with it, it further loses its power, right? Becoming the observer and getting into the in the present moment is also how you reclaim your power that you've probably, if you're anything like me, have spent most of your life giving to other people. I give them the power to make me happy. I give them the power to drive me crazy. I give them the power to scare me to death. I give them the power to pressure me. I give them the power to make me angry. I give them the power to ruin my day, right? That is giving your power away. That's how it works. When you do that, you get those things. You reclaim your power by moving your primary location where you exist most of the time from swimming in the past or future, and you bring yourself right back to the present moment, right? So there are many benefits here. We're talking about this in relation to beginning to study your belief programming, but there are many other profound effects that if you develop this ability, people will notice. People are attracted to people who are present, right? This and they're attracted at a level deeper than, wow, this person's really present. Like, it's not conscious like that, it's much deeper. This is how you develop an attractive personality. Okay, so you're going to work step one on becoming this observer. Connect with your breath, which means pay attention to your breath. Pay attention to it going in. Pay attention to it going out, right? If you're able to do that, one breath, maybe you won't even make it through one breath before your attention goes somewhere else. You want to keep going. And the longer you can spend time as the observer, the more you learn about who you are. Kind of crazy to say that. Maybe you don't believe me. That's okay. Just try it. Okay, so we're going to develop the practice of simply watching these thoughts that are coming out of our software programs slash beliefs and realizing that these are things that are being created by something else. Okay? Next, what do we do about it? Step number two then is that we're going to open a channel to develop a new program that we've written, a better program, one that's actually going to get in there and do work for good instead of work for nothing good. Okay, so the next skill then to develop once you become aware of what's going on inside of you, you want to develop the ability to at will get your brain in that alpha state. Okay, and you can go, there are so many ways to do this. I'll give you one way, but like even if you have a mobile device, you can buy brainwave metronomes, right? So you fall asleep. And the metronome, just like a musical metronome, it's dinging at the frequency, like in the theta range or the alpha range. And when your brain latches on to a rhythm like that, when it hears that, it matches it. So it's a way to train your brain to what it feels like to get into alpha or to get into theta. And amazing things are possible when you get your brain wave speed into those states. We're just going to focus on on this writing new programs for you part of it. I think the most straightforward explanation of this for anyone who hasn't read it is Maxwell Maltz's Psycho-Cybernetics. It's this ugly looking $8 book that I'm sure, well, tons of people have bought it. I think it sold like 30 million copies. Who knows what fraction of that are people who have actually read it. And then there's probably a tiny sliver of those individuals who've actually done what he recommends. I did it, and the effects were totally profound. Again, it's about helping you develop a practice that you can use forever, not just something you do once to like get your head screwed on straight. That's just not the way it works. Okay. When I read through Maxwell Maltz's book, and I'll explain what he recommends in a second, I didn't get at a very deep level how this worked. Certainly not what I'm explaining to you. I was at the level of, oh, wow, the secret, whatever you think about happens, like, which is a very kind of uninformed wrong. It's not wrong. It's like half true, which is probably worse than wrong because you can go longer and invest more energy without getting to anything before you realize you're not going in the right direction. If it was flat out wrong, you'd know sooner. I got through the Maxwell Maltz book and I just couldn't piece these pieces together. I knew if I did XYZ that cool things could happen. But when you understand why, I mean, then you have power because you have understanding at the energetic level, which everything in this world is energy. And if you just learn to how to use it and manipulate it and control it, like you actually have way more power than you think. So Maxwell Maltz was an old school plastic surgeon. I don't know if he was like one of the first ones, but I think this was back in the early 1900s or 1920, 25. And he was a plastic surgeon who discovered that he would make people beautiful and their life wouldn't improve. And he started wondering why. Why do I take this woman? Why do I take what she calls a deformity or some or a blemish or whatever and fix it? And why is she still miserable? And that led him just into digging into people's self-image and self-worth and how that got defined and how he wasn't able to change that even when the surface appearance of this individual was changed for the better, right? And over the years, he slowly figured out it doesn't matter what the surface looks like. If we have not impacted the story, the beliefs, the software programming, the self-image, he called it, I can't remember if Matt Fury is the one that called it the theater of the mind or if that was Maxwell Maltz's term, but it's basically the mental movie of you is what controls the show, right? And what you direct and what you set in that movie slowly becomes true over time. So we'll get into that in just a second. First, let's just talk about this alpha state for a moment. How do you get into alpha? If you've ever been in hypnosis, which I haven't done, but I've done a lot of meditation, shamanic journeying, things like that, sweat lodge ceremonies, things like that where you are going into deep brainwave states. a simple way to get to do this is sit down, start to pay attention to your breath, meaning move your awareness to it going in and out and don't take your awareness off the breath. Your breath is pretty constant. I mean, if you make it that way, it keeps you in the present moment. Close your eyes. Imagine you're looking at this big movie screen right in front of you with your eyes closed now, and the big number 30 flashes on that screen, and then it goes to 29, and then it goes to 28, and you count the whole way down, right? Don't stop breathing. You're aware of your breath. You're watching the numbers on the screen, kind of with each breath, you're trying to relax a little more, and you get to zero. If you practice that, it's a simple but pretty effective way to at least get to the edge of alpha, right, where you're starting to slow down in your brain. Like I said, there are a lot of ways to do it, but you can start with that one. Once that's the case, once you're in alpha or even theta, if you get one of those metronomes and set it on theta and do that every day, that's a pretty cool way to train yourself. Once you're in those lower states, now that door to your subconscious mind is open, right? You've kind of moved your conscious mind out of the way. And it's at this point where you're ready to install this new programming. And I said before, subconscious doesn't use language constructs. It uses energy and vivid feeling, like strong emotion and detailed imagery. So If all this is new to you, visualizing in your mind's eye might take some work, or maybe it comes very naturally to you. And what you're going to do is you're going to write this movie with new programs. Okay? And I'll get to some suggestions for what these could be. But the work you've done so far, or will have done, is to observe your thoughts. Start to try to figure out. For example, when I was growing up, I heard that rich people were evil. In fact, I probably will never forget my mother saying the phrase rich bitch, right? I don't even know what that word meant, but I knew it wasn't good, and I knew that rich people weren't either, right? And so what would happen is if I saw one of these rich people or someone that was identified to me as rich, the thoughts that would be produced were, number one, that phrase would come to mind. It may always for the rest of my life. Thanks, Mom. But this whole host of feelings, pictures of people doing, like stealing money from people, like just terrible connotations. All of that is attached. All of that is a byproduct of the belief pattern that was installed in me way back then that I accepted. I was less than seven. My subconscious was wide open. In goes the program. So now, fast forward 30 years, I'm sitting down, getting myself into alpha state. I want a new program. So I dream up a vivid and emotion-filled picture of a different program. Of the rich person, feeding the masses, of the rich person, clothing the poor people. What does that feel like? What does that look like? And again, we're just all artists here. Your movie can be whatever you want. But the point is to get one. When I first started doing this, my movie was my morning. And I would wake up, and I'm picturing this in my mind, right? I would wake up, I would look out. Open the door. We were sleeping on the second floor of our home. I would look out and see the water. And mind you, I lived in Arizona when I started doing this years ago. And I would go downstairs to make coffee. Now, my coffee pot wasn't even on the first floor, like in the home that I was living in at the time. I was in no danger of a body of water in the middle of the Arizona desert. And I would say good morning to my wife, and then I would take a walk, and then I would go in my office to work, right? And I did this movie over and over and over again. I added detail, I added feeling, I added smells and tastes, and just every dimension that I could. And it just got played over and over and over again in the alpha state. I did this when I first woke up in the morning. So you were kind of dreamy already, right? I tried to do it at night, but I would always fall asleep. So the morning was the next best time. And wouldn't you know it, and I'm going to put a copy of this report on the resources page with this recording, that a year later, a year and a half later, I was living 1,700 miles away. There was water nearby, an enormous lake that I could be to in like 2 minutes. I was sleeping on the second floor of a home. Kitchen was on the first floor. And I would walk into my office in the house in the morning to work. Now, it's not like I did this thinking, wow, I can't wait to move to the water. In fact, I didn't even think about it until I had to come up with a free report one day and I started writing about what my journey had been, and it hit me. Holy crap, your movie just came true. And that report's called Just Like Magic. I'll give you a link to it again. It's just my story about how I discovered all this and my experiences using this. But this is what Maxwell Maltz discovered. This mental movie is the new program that gets fed to your subconscious. And as he explained, I think he called the subconscious, he referred to it like a servo motor. Like, it's not intelligent. It does not make conscious decisions. It runs the programs it is given, right? So something to remember as your new job here as software developer is Your job is to set the goal. What does this movie look like? But your subconscious is the one that gets you there. Like, once that movie is set, and once you develop the practice of running that movie, of increasing the detail of that movie and the dimensions and the feelings and the realistic aspects of it, you don't have to worry about the how. That's really hard to accept, I think, for somebody that wants to be in control. It's just it's using the equipment improperly to try to do that, right? Now, this whole process that I just talked about, which is subconscious state of mind or alpha state of mind, somehow figuring out how to get access to communicate with the subconscious, communicating it then with it in terms of pictures and strong emotions. I've just described a process that ancient traditions would call magic, not magic tricks, like the real one. I've also described a process that current traditions might refer to as prayer. Similar mechanics. Focused energy in the form of thought, intention, stuff like that, mixed with emotional power. Right? So this has been around forever. No one teaches us how to do this, however. So this means when you are figuring out what is going to go in your movie, and a simple way to do that is, of course, you could make the movie of your life as you dream it to be, but I think it's smart to spend a little time getting clear on what you think your current programming might be, and to really specifically go after not changing those existing programs. That we don't have to change them. We're going to overwrite them with new ones. Okay. So I read off a long list of terrible programs, you know, about let me just get to that list. About being, you know, in search for the need for validation, nothing good could come quick, all that crap. Well, some good programs that you could start working into your movie could be things like you leading others. What does that look like? Like, exactly what does that look like? What does it feel like? Another program could be you going through your life whole and complete, just as you are. Like, actually being a being that accepts yourself exactly as you are. Like, you don't have to do this, and you aren't going to walk around saying, I should have done this, or I could have done that, or I didn't do this, or someone who doesn't beat themselves up about that, because that's a program, right? You are running a program. What could a program look like where you're just whole and complete, like just right now? What could a program look like where you have a complete lack of need for being validated by anyone else? Like I said before, you can't think yourself to this. Because if you could have, you would have by now. But when you build a movie embodying those things that you want, that's a completely different task because now you're using your equipment correctly. You're using the subconscious mind you've been given, and you know the way that subconscious mind accepts information, right? What if you have a program where you're actually living with the ability to provide the love for yourself that most of us spend our lives trying to get from other people, right? Validation is just another word for love, another level of it. And if there's one problem that most humans have, that they can't give that to themselves because their programming does not allow that. So what if your programming did, right? This changes your personal life, obviously, but this really changes your business life, especially when you're in the attracting clients business, right? I did a teleseminar a couple of months ago about getting rid of need. Well, that, and I described a process. It wasn't really a seminar where we went deep enough to get to this, but this is like six levels deeper than that because we can just write a new program and we can install it and we can practice it and we can let it run. Everything in your life at the moment is simply a byproduct of your current programming, right? And it didn't happen that way overnight. Like, this takes time. But you've already proven to yourself, or you will prove to yourself, once you spend a little time getting aware of your current programming, you'll prove to yourself how well this system works. It's kind of amazing. It's just that we spend most of our waking hours with terrible programming. Okay. So just to wrap this up, it's actually a pretty straightforward process. You're currently running programs that are giving you your current reality. You have the power to change programs, replace the terrible ones with new ones, by getting your brain into a state where access to your subconscious is open, and then you, in the form of, in the language of the subconscious, which is image and feeling, you supply a new program to that subconscious. And you do that, you can do it every day, you can do it 6 times a day. You can practice that. Right? Connect with your breath, get into alpha, run your movie, you're done. Go about your life. And that's how it works. And you can deal with this like laser, like with a laser approach where, man, every time I get a client, I always undercharge or, undervalue myself. That is a program. That is nothing to do with the client. This is all you. So what is a better program? Install that. Practice it, right? So a movie for that might look like you walking into a room with the meeting with a prospect, you spitting out a fee that is 3 times what you normal what you currently charge, right? And the feeling that is in that movie is one of deep gratitude and appreciation for the ability to serve someone else. And that client looks at you straight in the eyes and said, "Let's do it." Right? That's a new movie. That's a new program. You can go with either program. They both work. They will both become manifest in your reality because that's simply how your systems work. So it's up to you which programs to choose. All right. So that's the program. next, I have a couple Q&As. People sent in questions. If you have questions and need clarifications right now, hit *2. That'll raise your hand on my screen, and I will unmute you and you can ask the question. If you're by email and you want to email a question in quickly, please do it sooner than later, just in case there's a delay. And I will try to get to it right now and answer it on the recording for the benefit of everybody. I have 2 questions to work through now that were already sent in. First one, the context for this is the person that submitted it said, "This happens when I'm teaching a class and this person raises." There's some person in this class raises his hand to correct me. Someone I know will correct me even if what I'm saying is factually true. When he corrects me, it causes me to doubt myself. The way I handle it on the outside is fine as I tie it back to a larger point I'm making. I'm hoping internally, however, that I can be less irritated at this kind of behavior. I know he does this to everyone, so I shouldn't take his false corrections personally." Okay. So this is a good question because you could substitute just about any uncomfortable situation in for this, right? And the principle is still going to be the same. And it's something that if you, dear question asker, read the presence process will be addressed over and over and over. So before I read that book and really embodied the truth that that guy shared, I would have been very much like, I would have had a reaction much like what you describe. Would have created a physical irritation, annoyance. I mean, I had a website called Clients Suck, for goodness sake. So I was in the remedial program when it comes to all this stuff for a long time. But eventually I learned to flip it around, right? So this feeling that it generates in you, this I'm doubting myself now, like this is nothing more than a message. And when, and I talk about this oftentimes in the Daily Journal, when you begin to view these things that are coming into your reality as messages, then you can start looking for lessons. Like, where is the lesson for me, right? And so I don't know what the lesson is for you, but if I had to guess, my hunch might be that when something like this enters your reality that can rub you the wrong way, there are two ways that you can go. You can react and you can respond. Okay? React is when you preoccupy your conscious mind with the event that's happening, and you allow the program that is in your subconscious for how to deal with this stuff to run, right? So, like, I remember the day that I got the phone call from a client who was paying me $15,000 a month to work with them. And the client said, oh, it wasn't even the client, it was one of his people, said, "We won't be needing you anymore." So, for like a few seconds there, I'm not exactly sure where I went. Like, I blipped out. The emotional, like, kapow was so intense that my conscious mind was occupied with whatever. And that allowed my unconscious, subconscious mind to reach for the program designed to run in this situation and run it. That is reacting. Reacting is automatic. Unconscious, right? The other thing that you can do is to provide a conscious response, responding conscious. So, could the lesson here for you could possibly be that this is an opportunity for you to get clear and make a choice between reacting to things and responding to things. A response is usually preceded by a connection with your breath, right? And that present moment. And then in that instant, you become that observer, and you're already one step removed, one step detached from the movie, right? And that's where you can make a decision about what or what not to do next that actually has power. If you run a program, if you react, if you allow that unconscious thing to happen, then your power has been given to whoever wrote the program. For most of us, many of the programs inside us are not our own. So that is often not a smart thing to do. Okay, so that's question number one. Question number two, let's say you want to try something new. It's within your skill set, but you don't have oodles of experience, examples, or social credibility in doing this thing yet. Bearing in mind you don't want to work for free or massively undervalue what you're doing, is it ethical and appropriate to start with a high price tag? And if yes, why? So here, based on what I mentioned earlier, and I'm not saying this is true for you, but I'm saying it's a possibility and you should figure out if it's true for you. The fact that you even have this question could very well be that thought, a product of a program that you have. And oddly enough, it's one of the programs that I mentioned, which is where does our definition for moral and ethical and upstanding and right come? I think making good decisions in life is pretty simple, right? I mean, if you follow. It has many names, but take the golden rule, for instance, right? Really, just one rule is all we need. Like, I'm going to treat you the way I want to be treated. Apart from that, everything else is pretty much up to for debate, right? What's ethical? What's moral? I don't even know. You could argue about it all day. I know what's treating someone like I would want to be treated and what's not, but past that, what does your program say about who the individual or individuals are who would have that answer? Who are these people? And is there a reason that this person is not you? And if that person is not you, the person that you did grant that power to, what qualifies them to be in that position? So I didn't really answer the question. I asked you a question, is that a valid question? And I think that's where you might find your answer. Because to the extent that you can have a program that grants you the power to be responsible for these answers, the more powerful you will become. So that is that. All right. Let me check the email for other questions. When I post the recording to this, I will have the recording, obviously. I will have a bunch of resources, books, and links that I've cited throughout this, other stuff that has helped me. I will also have a link to that free report that I mentioned. Okay, another question came in here. How do you be yourself, your real self, when you've been trying to be like everybody else for as long as you can remember, because you secretly don't want to be an outcast, you want to be liked? As a child, I do everything possible to not look different. As an adult, I do everything possible to be different. What I'm ultimately looking for is to be picked, accepted. What practice can I do to figure out who the heck is me so I can start being me? So ultimately, again, please read the Presence Process. So I remember the last time I went through all this and it created some hate mail, but that's okay. I'm willing to do it because when I had this realization for myself, it really shifted a lot for me. Not necessarily immediately, because it took me a while to really integrate the understanding. But it is ultimately the source of all true power, I think, now looking back. And it came from the Presence Process book and the other readings that I did from that same author, Michael Brown. One of the other resource books is called Alchemy of the Heart. I've watched a ton of his videos over the years. And in that book, he explains that, going back to our childhood again, when we were young, who knows when, but this goes back to the programming. When we reached out to get love from somebody, could have been our parents, could have been anybody that was around, right? When we had a need or a desire for love and we reached out, whatever came back in that moment became our definition of love. It became the thing, we got programmed to want to seek that thing. Now that's cool if what you got back was a hug. Not so cool if what you got back was a slap, right? Or worse, or something in between. And I remember reading that and I was like, holy crap. So Michael Brown was explaining it in the context of, why do these same things in my life, insert whatever keeps happening to you, why do they keep happening over and over and over again? And his simple answer, simple to say, not simple to do, was that they keep happening because you keep searching them out. You keep searching out this, whatever this definition, whatever this program that equaled love for you, you will do anything in your power to bring that to you over and over and over and again. And until that program changes, he didn't use the word program, but I'm using it. Until you change the program, that will not shift. He recommends changing the program by integrating that emotion, meaning sit in it, like study it, look at it, really just go right into it and feel that and diffuse it like a bomb would be diffused by removing its energy source, because you let it dissipate versus you building it up or chasing after it. All those things are energy giving, right? And so ultimately, like, we are looking for validation because we want to be loved. And we have not done the work required to give that to ourself. Because when we give it to ourself, we don't need it from anybody else, which means their opinion doesn't matter to us on an emotional level. We can choose whether we want to listen to them. Nothing matters because we are whole already, right? And so when you write a business newsletter like I do, and you know this, I let this type of stuff out every now and again, but like based on my experience and his experience and maybe yours when you try this, you go this direction, every level of your life will shift because this is what we're all running after. We're running after something that we have not grown up on the inside enough to give ourselves, right? As for being me and how do we figure out how to be me, I have only ever felt, or I've only ever found that answer in complete stillness, meaning in silence, meaning meditation, meaning you will never think your way there, but it will bubble up from within you, those answers, when you have the ability to remove all of the crap that's above it right now, all the noise. That takes some practice. It really just takes a decision to do it every day, right? But I really think like I was the poster child for the person who was asking this question. I was this person. Straight A's, never late for anything, teacher's pet, like fit in, follow the rules, get picked, be accepted, 100%. I remember, I think I almost cried. I think I did. In high school, I got a B minus math star, quiz bowl team, right? Straight A's, right? Whatever. I got a B minus on the geometry test 1 week. Almost ruined my life. Talk about like wanting to get picked or accepted, right? That's because I did not have the emotional maturity to number one, give myself what I was seeking so earnestly. And the other fork in this is I did not even know that this was a thing, let alone do it. I had not accepted 100% responsibility for me, owning up to me. I'm too tall, I own it. I'm too small, I own it. I'm always late, I own it. You don't like it when I do this? I own it. That's me. This is me. I'm 100% responsible for that. For someone who spent most of his life scared, running from this to that, right? Because I was trying to please and keep up appearances and do all this stuff on the outside to try to make my inside feel better. I had it exactly backwards. And one of the most relaxing feelings that I recall in my entire life is when someone, and I'm trying to think who that, yeah, it was the Celtic shaman that I worked with for years, got it through my skull that if you develop the ability to own every part of you, every level of who you actually are, and to say to the world, this is me, you may not like it, but this is all me, this is 100% me, I am fully responsible for this. That was one of the best feelings ever, to be able to internalize, I don't need anything from anyone. Not with an attitude, but like in a powerful way. And so I would work down those two roads in pursuit of this answer. But also what we just discussed today, like it's the programming, right? This is a program that is inside. I'm not going to say it's been left to run unchecked. It has been left to run unaltered for probably a while, right? If you're anything like most of us. So shift the program, write the new program, start figuring out how to grow up on an emotional maturity level, right? Which means we're responding, not reacting. How do I accept myself and take full responsibility for how things are right now and actually be okay with it? I mean, it's kind of insane to think you wouldn't be okay with it. It's kind of insane to think that any of us would argue with what is. Because there's not a lot we can do to change it because at this moment it is, right? And a radical acceptance of what is, to me, is about the only way to be free ever. Okay, so that was kind of long-winded, but that was off the top of my head. Any other questions? Hit star 2 to raise your hand. Or let me see if anything else came in. Going once, going twice. Okay, so we're done then. I think that'll do it. I will have all these resources and recordings out in the next day or two. And again, if you have any other follow-up questions that you want to send in, feel free. And I hope you have found this valuable. Again, just understand this is a tool that you can choose to pick up and use forever or not. So maybe this seems overly simple. Maybe it seems extremely overwhelming or somewhere in between. I don't really know. But this is certainly not a tool that I've discovered. It's a tool that I've been amazed by consistently over time. At first, using it haphazardly, over the years, getting more deliberate and masterful at it. And it's something that the outside world will notice because the change that you can initiate simply through what we've discussed, if you work at it, is pretty profound. And almost every personal situation, business challenge, all of that benefits indirectly by the changes that you can make with what really is a technology, right? We are amazing technology who have found our way to this existence with no instruction book. And I'm always grateful for the people that have figured some of this stuff out, however they have. So thank you so much for your time. I wish you all the best, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.